The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Before we get started, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm not live in studio. I actually taped this show on, yes, Election Day. So if you're expecting me to have some thoughts on who the winner is today, though I believe I can speculate who it could be, here I am Sunday. I would be the guy, the only guy in the room that didn't know who won the election by Sunday. So I'm being very honest with you that, you know, I know you all want to talk about what happened in the election. I don't know because I'm taping this on Tuesday. I went to the polls Tuesday morning, this morning, I should say, because I'm not here Sunday morning today. Went to the polls. There was no line, no wait at North Andover High School. Walked right in, voted, did my civic duty, walked out, and no problem at all, in and out. And I can say that I voted, and I hope you did too this week. I hope you were a participant in this week's historic election. And I hope your kids, you encourage your kids to, because honestly, I'll say on the radio, I'm disappointed that my kids did not vote. They just said we couldn't find the time. And I thought that was, I was really, really upset about that. I thought that was a very lame excuse. I got to, you know, you've met Mindy and you've talked to Alana. One's a junior at Babson. One's a freshman at URI. And they just didn't find the time to go through the absentee ballot process. And I insisted that I would not do it for them. It was going to be up to them to do this. This is, you know, one of these things like anything else. As parents, I know we want our kids to try to do some stuff, and yes, I'm disappointed in the fact that they didn't vote, but I'm also proud of myself and my wife that we didn't do it for them. You know, they can feel however they feel, whether they felt it was important or not, but there are times in our lives where we've been, where I think many people are becoming helicopter parents so much so that they're taking care of this stuff for their kids. And you know what? This is a lesson that they'll learn, and so be it. Whatever it might be, if they're happy with themselves, that's fine. If not, you know, maybe you talk to your kids. Voting is important. It is a civic duty. It's what people gave their lives for here in America, for us to be able to have the freedom to vote. And I do hope that you got out and voted, no matter who you voted for. You could have picked Minnie Mouse. You could have written her in. I don't care. You know, one of the thoughts that I had, what happens? There's a lot of people that said, you know, I couldn't decide who to vote for. I don't want to vote. I don't like either of the main candidates. And you might want to vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or whomever it was. What if you voted for both? What if you actually filled in the box for both Clinton and Trump? So that way you could say that you voted, but your vote, I don't even know if it gets counted. Does the ballot just get disqualified? I guess Governor Baker, who had made the statement that he was not going to vote for president, he made that statement months ago. He actually announced Tuesday morning after coming out of the ballot box, out of the voting booths, that he did not vote for a presidential candidate. He said he left it blank. He voted for the other candidates, but did not vote for a presidential candidate. I think that's unfortunate. I think you need to at least do something. Just showing up doesn't matter. And I didn't realize this. Did you know that the fact that you voted or did not vote is public record? So you can actually go down to your city or town hall and find out, just because someone says, yeah, I voted, it doesn't tell you who they voted for. But it actually does show the public record is there to say you voted. So if you're really that interested, if you're really that conniving and really want to find out whether someone's telling you the truth or not, you know, it is public record. You can go ahead and do that. But hopefully, finally, maybe the Facebook posts will stop. The onslaught of postings, ads, videos, personalities, people thinking whatever they are, just everything. It's just annoying. I hope we're moving on. And I will tell you this, even though I don't know what happened in the election, because like I said, I'm taping this show today. I taped it Tuesday morning, election day, and here I am Sunday. I assure you of this. The one prediction that I can promise you on Sunday, the world did not fall apart following the election. It did not grow into a catastrophe. No one lost all of their money. The stock market did not plummet. People are still driving today. Events are going on as planned. The United States is still a powerhouse in the world. You can still travel by plane, by car, by boat, by bus. You can still have access to the internet. You will still get your paycheck. Taxes will be withheld, and the government will still be in business, regardless of who won this election on Tuesday. That's my guess. Like I said, I don't know who won. I have a feeling I know who's going to win, or who has won by now if you're listening on Sunday. But nevertheless, the election is over, and we can move on with our lives. So, hey, I want to tell you about a place that I went. You know, oftentimes we get to go as financial advisors. I get to go to some really cool conferences. And there's one conference that I get to go to that is not just where financial advisors go, but it's actually investors have gone to this thing as well. You've heard of Warren Buffett. He has a shareholder conference that he holds for people that are shareholders in Berkshire Hathaway. Well, Ron Barron is a billionaire money manager and investor. He regularly appears on CNBC, and he hosts an annual investor conference each year around November for investors. And if you have $25,000 or more in his fund, and I'm not telling you need to buy this fund or get out of this fund, I have no opinion on the fund, but the ticket to get an invitation to the conference is if you have $25,000 in his investment, you get an invitation to attend the conference. And it's an all-day event that's at the Lincoln Center in New York. It's been doing this. He was just celebrating his 25th year. Now, people come to this conference for a variety of reasons. There is no cost to attend the conference at all. What happens, though, is that 4,000 people will go to the Lincoln Center, and they start lining up as early as 6:30 in the morning. And what happens is you go, you have your ticket, and you go through the tents that are set up in the Lincoln Center, and this year they asked an important question. And the important question that you get asked is, what type of entertainment would you like for lunch? And you're like, huh? So this is the important question they asked. Would you like lunch to have a Broadway theme to it? Would you like it to have a classic rock theme to it, or a comedic theme to it, a comedian? So you got chosen. When you check in, you either get a badge that has a different color, and that color represents which theater you're going to be going to at lunchtime. So I'll get back to who the performers are in a minute. So you continue into the Lincoln Center. They check you in. You have seats, and there's breakfast that's served. It's a continental breakfast that's there, but 4,000 people that are all at this meeting, and it always amazes me how many people show up there, and it's like they've never seen food before in their lives. For bagels, for pastries, for coffee, for juice. It's, you know, folks, the thing was free. Yet it still doesn't matter. They're piling it up. They brought their Ziploc bags. They bring all sorts of stuff. And then they're mad that there isn't enough seats for them to come in. So, yeah, the average age at this conference is probably, I would guess, early 60s would be the average age of the folks that are there, maybe even older. You'll see some folks that show up on that Friday morning in tuxedos and fur coats, and others that show up in jeans and a T-shirt. There is no dress code. There is no dress code because, you know, frankly, I think Ron doesn't care what your background is or where you come from. As long as you invest in his fund, he's very happy with that. So you go in and you have breakfast. Then they move you into the main Metropolitan Opera House, and you're sitting in there. And what you have for the morning is a series of presentations from CEOs, chief executive officers of some of the stocks that are currently part of one of the Barron funds' portfolios. Now, if you understand how mutual fund works, a mutual fund is a collection of stocks in many cases, or a collection of securities, I should say. But in this case, it's a collection of stocks. We're a fund manager, and Ron Barron might be one of those fund managers. He selects stocks for his portfolio that meet the objective of the fund. And let's say this fund's objective is to buy companies that have stable earnings, they show high growth potential, they have strong management, and they are built to last. They're going to be, the expectation is these companies are going to be around 15, 20, 40 years from now, not just high flyers that happen right now. So examples of some of the CEOs that have spoken in the past, Kevin Plank. Now, do you know Kevin Plank is? Kevin Plank is the CEO of Under Armour. So he has spoken. We've had speakers that were, I don't know. There was a guy that does medicine for pets. There was a guy that spoke on Silverstone or Silostone, one of those granite, those artificial granite countertops. A variety of different people speak, and they talk about the futures of where their company's going to go. And the CEO presentations are pretty high level. They're not boring by all means. The CEO is getting up there making a pitch as to why this company has the potential to have legs for 10, 15, 20 years. They use all the multimedia tools that they have available to them. They answer questions from the audience. It's really interactive and very interesting. So our clients, some of our clients actually, who are members of, who actually have money in Barron funds, actually get to go to this conference as well. And we saw some of them out there. But Marion and I go, and we just love learning about what's the future going to hold. What are some of these technologies? What are some of these ideas that we just really haven't seen and captured before? Someone talked about the future of real estate, of rental real estate, about REITs they talked about. They talked about the future of healthcare. We talked about Tesla. Elon Musk was there last year to talk about where the future of space travel, where the future of solar power is going, and what's going on with his cars. All sorts of interesting stuff. And so you get that. Each person talks for about 25 to 40 minutes or so, answers questions, and they move on. So you see four or five different people in the morning. At lunchtime, Ron Barron then steps to the stage and says, all right, we're time for lunch. So if you happen to be wearing a tag that says you're going to see comedy, you're going to go to one of the theaters that are nearby, and Louis C.K., in this case, Louis C.K. is the comedian. He will be there hosting your lunch. And so when you go to the theater, there are box lunches for you, and they're really nice box lunches. You go there, you sit in the theater, have lunch, and Louis C.K. is going to perform in the comedy one. The second one was classic rock. If you have classic rock this year, it was Kenny Loggins. Now, you may know who Kenny Loggins is. Footloose, Top Gun. He did the song from Winnie the Pooh. He does all sorts of stuff. Kenny Loggins performed his classic rock. You got to see them. And then thirdly, if you went to Broadway, you got to hear from Leslie Odom Jr. Now, maybe that name, it didn't mean a thing to me until I put it into context. Leslie Odom Jr. played Aaron Burr in the musical Hamilton, which is the most popular, the hottest ticket to get in New York. He recently stepped away from the cast to start his own personal and private entertainment group, and he was unbelievable. I went to the Broadway show. So after the performances are over, you now go back into the Metropolitan Opera House. You walk in there, and there is a presentation by the chief information officer, the chief operating officer, Linda Mackinson. She makes a presentation. We get to meet from the portfolio managers, all 12 portfolio managers from the 12 different funds that Barron has. They offer about a 2 or 3 minute synopsis of what's going on with their funds. They bring in a professional interviewer that hosts the event, and then you get to ask questions of the portfolio managers from the audience. Then Ron Barron finally gets up and offers his outlook on the market. And Ron Barron is an absolute optimist. He made it very clear who his favorite candidate was in the election because, like I said, this is a taped show this morning. I do not know what the outcome of the election was. I taped this on Tuesday, but Ron Barron made it very clear that he thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the favored winner, and that's who he was voting for, which was fine. And then Ron Barron steps up, and he announces who the main stage entertainment is going to be. The main stage. This is what everybody comes for. Years ago, I've gone the past few years. First year I went, the headliner was Celine Dion. The year after that, it was Barbara Streisand. The year after that, it was Paul McCartney. The year after that was Alicia Keys. And this year, the headliner was, well, you'll find that out. We'll be right back. I'm going to take a quick break, and I will tell you who the headliner was when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, which is located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right near the North Shore Mall. I've been doing this radio show for almost 4 years now. I think it's 5 years in the radio business. I don't know how many years it is. I always lose track. It's been a long time. But I really like it. It's a lot of fun, and we get to meet so many people here in the community. Many people have come to the office. They've visited us. They've scheduled appointments. Some of them have set up accounts with us. Some of them have simply just emailed us and asked us questions. I'm happy to help you in whatever way, shape, or form I can, because we use this radio show as a means to provide financial advice in a language that you can understand. There's so much nonsense, so much noise, so much unpredictability that's out there, and a lot of it is left to speculation for you to figure out. How should I work all of these numbers? How should I address all of these issues from my personal situation? Not anybody else's, but mine. And sometimes it can be very, very difficult and confusing. I want to try to simplify it a little bit. I want to try to help you out because, honestly, it's really not that confusing. It's really not that hard if you can strip out the emotional component. But most people can't. In fact, I don't know anybody that really can. You know, it's a lot easier for me to be rational for your situation than it is for me to be rational for my own personal situation. I think we all know that. It's a lot easier to give advice, unsolicited advice, to a lot of people, isn't it? But you begin to develop a craft and a skill as to how to provide that advice in a caring, sincere, and honest, straightforward manner with the inclusion of experience and wisdom to support the advice that you're providing. And I think that's something that I give great credit to our firm for doing. My father started our firm back in 1968. So we'll be celebrating 50 years of offering financial planning, April of 2018. And so it gives us a tremendous amount of perspective. Right now, people will ask, well, Mark, tell me about your client base. What is the type of client that you work with? Well, it's 450 households. 450 households that live primarily on the North Shore, in the Merrimack Valley, and in the southern New Hampshire area. Some are out in, you could call it somewhat of Metro West, if you call Burlington, Billerica, Woburn, whatever you want to call that area as well. Boston, North Suburban, maybe. And we do financial planning for every single one of those people. You don't simply walk into my office and say, hey, Mark, I've got $500,000 to invest. It would be nice if you had $500,000 to invest. You generally don't do that. You walk in and you say, you know what? I've got stuff all over the place. I haven't been able to make heads or tails of where I am financially. I'm approaching some important periods of time in my life. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's a layoff. Maybe it's the death of a parent. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's something that's gone on in your life. And you need to know that you need to know where everything is, what it's all worth, and how it will impact your life moving forward. That's when people come to us, because we take this very seriously. Yeah, I recognize that you probably have money in your 401k plan. Maybe you bought an annuity. Maybe you've got money in the bank. Maybe you have investments in a variety of different real estate. Perhaps you've got money in a trust account, money scattered all over the place, and you just don't know what to do with it. And everybody wants to give you individual little tips and pieces of information. We want to give you big picture information. I want to give you overarching advice so that you can make smart decisions. If I'm describing a situation in your life where it's a time to get serious about your financial planning and investing, give us a call. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. It's 978-531-8108. Or simply drop me an email, Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. And if you happen to call the office, if you call today, no one's there. Leave a message. Jody will get back to you. She's my assistant. We will schedule time to have you come into the office or even just answer the questions that you might have. But I would love to talk and meet with you. So in all honesty, I just got to be clear. I know that I'm saying that today the office is closed, but I'm actually not in the studio today. I know today is Sunday, but I'm actually taping on Tuesday. So truth be told, I don't know the outcome of the election. I have no idea what happened. I voted this morning, which was Tuesday, and I have no idea. You all know, yet this radio, the show that you're listening to, has no idea who won. So it's kind of good that way. I'll address those issues. I'll address the election and all the other stuff next Sunday. So tune in there for our election special, if you want to call it that, for next Sunday. Anyways, I was telling you about this conference that I went to this past week and how fabulous it was. Great from an educational standpoint, from an intellectual standpoint, from a musical standpoint as well. I was telling you about the fact that we went to New York this past weekend, and many of our clients did too. If you happen to be an investor in the Barron Group of Mutual Funds, B-A-R-O-N, chances are, if you have $25,000 or more in that fund, you got an invitation too. It has nothing to do with me. You would have gotten an invitation directly from Barron Mutual Funds. Now, sometimes those come in those silly blue bags that no one ever wants to open up. You know, those prospectuses that you get in the mail, and most people throw those things away. Well, Barron actually includes an invitation for you to attend their annual shareholder meeting. Actually, if you an investor in Coca-Cola or a Disney or any type of individual stock as well, there's always an annual shareholder meeting that you get invited to. Now, many of those shareholder meetings, and they are free, they're not the most exciting meetings to go to, but the Barron annual conference is exciting. It's educational. They encourage the public to come if you're an investor, of course. It's filled with CEO presentations from companies that are investing in their funds. It also includes some musical entertainment. We had musical entertainment, a choice of that for lunch. The musical entertainers that we got to choose from at lunchtime were either Louis C.K., which not musical, but comedic. We chose from Kenny Loggins under the classic rock category, or Leslie Odom Jr., who was Aaron Burr in Hamilton and has recently left the cast of Hamilton to start up his own private career. And so he sang for us as well. But when I last left you in the earlier segment, I was telling you about the big main stage entertainment, where all 4,000 people head back into the Lincoln Center. Every seat is filled to see who the surprise entertainment might be. Now, I had no idea who it was going to be. I never know each year. When I went for my first time, it was Celine Dion was the afternoon entertainment. The year after that, it was Barbara Streisand. The year after that, it was Paul McCartney. The year after that was Alicia Keys. And this year's main stage entertainment was the Wolverine, Hugh Jackman. Now, I didn't know what to expect for Hugh Jackman, to be very honest with you, but man, is this guy talented. He sings, he dances, he's quick with stories from the audience, he's a great storyteller, great performer, great stage presence. You can understand why this guy is the host of the Academy Awards. He travels with an orchestra of 25 people. He has a group of backup singers that are each probably stars in their own right, or soon to be stars in their own right. There's 12 of them. He calls them the Jackman 12, as opposed to the Jackson 5, but it's the Jackman 12. And he did all sorts of songs. He was great. You might have seen him perform at in the movie Les Miserables, if you happen to see that. He plays Jean Valjean in Les Miserables. He was fabulous. So what does all this stuff have to do with money? What does this have to do with providing financial advice in a language you can understand? Well, you know what? One of the things that's really kind of cool about this, and I'm not telling you to invest in Barron or not, but if you were an investor in Barron Funds and you had $25,000 invested in their funds or more, you get an invitation to this free event. Free event. There was breakfast provided, presentations from CEOs. There was musical entertainment. There was then presentations from the portfolio manager, so you could get a sense as to what's going on in their portfolio. This is what's called an annual shareholder meeting. Ron just kind of steps it up a few notches. And at the end of the conference, when it's all over, you walk out and there's a goodie bag for you that generally has a T-shirt that represents the conference. You get a couple snacks, a go-away bag, and it's just a great overall day. The thing that's nice, because Ron is an Orthodox Jew, you're out before sunset because he has to be home for Shabbat. So 4 o'clock, we were well out of there, and it all works out great. The thing starts early, 6:30 in the morning, but by 4 o'clock, you're out. You can make dinner. You can go to see a show in New York, make it a weekend, and we've done that. My wife and I have done that for years, and we actually had, this year, I think 26 of our clients took Barron up on the offer to come to the event, and we saw them out there in New York as well. So at any rate, like I told you, I'm taping the show today. I don't know what the outcome is of the election. I don't know whether we've decided to legalize pot or not. I don't know whether there will be charter schools or not. I don't even know who the president of the United States will be come Inauguration Day in January. I could probably guess some of them, but I'm not about to speculate because I'm here in the studio today, Tuesday, not knowing what's going on. So what I thought I would do today is get away from politics for a while, because let's hope that by the time this Sunday rolls around, your Twitter feeds have slowed down. Your Facebook posts have minimized. There's no more yelling and screaming. There's no more hated friends anymore, that you can refriend some of your friends because you don't want to see their political postings or their political biases anymore. Let's move on, because I can assure you of this. The United States is still standing with, regardless of who won. The United States is still here. We still remain a very powerful and strong country. Stock market might have fluctuated a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be an issue at all. What's kind of interesting, actually, last week we saw as the Clinton email story began to resurface last week, we saw the stock market go into a small but consistent tailspin a little bit. Each day we would see the stock market, the S&P 500, pull back a little bit, the Dow pull back a little bit, so much so that there were 9 consecutive days when the stock market went down. And people began to think, well, maybe the signs of the stock market pulling back were giving an indication that Donald Trump might have a better chance to win this election. And that's all fair and stuff to speculate, because understand, when you're investing in the stock market, when you're following what's going on in the Dow, the S&P, whatever it is, it's speculation. The movement of the markets are based on not what happens today, but what the markets believe will happen based upon the current situation as we perceive it to be. One of the things that markets hate is uncertainty. And I think for the longest time, there was the certainty that Hillary Clinton was going to win this election. So the markets stabilized a little bit. And then there was the uncertainty when the email issues resurfaced again, and people thought, oh my goodness, could Donald Trump win this election? And like I said, I don't know what the outcome is of the election. I'm here, you're listening to me on Sunday. I taped the show on Tuesday. But what we saw was for 9 days leading up to last Friday, the markets dropped. And then over the weekend, the email issue supposedly was going to be taken away. It wasn't going to be an issue anymore. And how did we end the day on Monday? Up 375 points, up more than 2% for the day. Now, there's a lot of people that would call us and they say, Mark, you know, I know I want to invest, but I got to wait to see what happens until after this election is over. Well, folks, my feeling is I don't, like I said, I don't know who won the election. But I can tell you this, 5 years from now, our stock market is a lot higher than where it is today, regardless of who won this election. 10 years from now, it's even higher. Now, if you're a short-term player in this stock market, don't play the market. Don't speculate. You're in big trouble. But to see the gyrations of the market, for the market to jump 2% after 9 down days, were you willing to invest in the market last Friday when the market had 9 consecutive days to pick up 2% on Monday? Were you willing to do that? Most people weren't, because they said, well, I'm going to see how long this pullback goes. And now with the election only 2 days away, it could go down even further. But the people that make money in the stock market, people that make money for the long term, are people that don't speculate. They invest. They leave the money alone. They know things are going to go up and down. Certain investments are going to do better than others. And at the end of the day, you will be fine. You'll be great. But the worst thing in the world is where people are putting their money now. When I saw this report that came out that showed where the current flow of money is going right now, I was absolutely surprised. And what was even more surprising to me was that the youngest people in America, our 20, 30, and 40-year-olds, are buying this type of investment that I want to tell you about when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Once in a lifetime, a musical comes along that transcends the art form and becomes part of our national heritage.
Tonight, tonight, it all began tonight.
Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater presents an all-new production of West Side Story.
Free in America, okay, by me in America, everything free in America.
The landmark musical with one of the most stunningly beautiful scores ever created for the stage.
When you're a jet, you're the top cat in town. You're the gold medal kid with the heavyweight crown. When you're a jet, you're the swinginest thing. Little boy, you're a man. Little man, you're a king.
West Side Story is at North Shore Music Theater now through November 20th only. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Abiomed.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. About half past the hour. Hope you're all doing well this Sunday morning. Honestly, I'm not here in studio on Sunday. I taped this show on Tuesday. So if you had hopes of me talking about what happened in the election, the honest answer is I don't know, because I taped this show on Tuesday. I went to the polls, I voted in the morning, and then I came here to the studio to tape the show, and so I don't know. As much as I'd like to know, I don't know, but I will know next Sunday. So tune in next Sunday for my rational thinking to the election of the week prior. It'll actually give us a few days to kind of sift through what's gone on, understand what the implications are. Perhaps we'll have some cabinet selections that have already been identified. Perhaps we'll see some, perhaps there'll be some changes. Perhaps you never know what could happen in the 10 or 12 days that follow Election Day. I think people are prepared for, honestly, anything. They really are. Who knows what will happen? So we'll have plenty to talk about next Sunday when I'm back here in studio talking about what's been going on in the world. But I'm here today. I'm here today providing financial advice in a language you can understand. And one of the things that I was talking about was the fact that timing the market is really something that's difficult to do. If we were thinking about the 9 days that led up to, well, last Friday. So think about not this past Friday, but the Friday prior to the election. The 9 days leading up to that weekend, the stock market dropped. And it dropped, it was almost kind of like a cheese grater effect. You'd lose 50 points today, then 60 points tomorrow, then 70 points the next day, then 50 points. It was just little swipes at it. But when you added it up over 9 consecutive days, the market had dropped almost 400 points. That was pretty significant. Now, what's 400 points to 18,000 on the Dow? It's not a lot. I mean, you're talking about maybe a 2% drop. That's really all it really was. But it seems like a lot. And what you saw was people starting to get worried. They were worried because of what appeared to be the issue of Hillary Clinton's emails resurfacing as a potential black mark as it led towards the election. And it gave the sense that the certainty of the election outcome was not nearly as certain as the pollsters were expecting. And so it gave the potential that could show that Donald Trump could win this election. And people got a little scared because markets don't like uncertainty. But, you know, everybody knows that you buy low and you sell high. You buy on dips. And people worried that after 9 days of the market going down, how many more days could it go down? And then over the weekend, a story appeared in the news that the Clinton email story was going to be dropped. It wasn't going to be an issue. And so what happens on Monday? The markets go up 350 plus points, pretty much erasing all that was lost over the previous 9 days. But on Friday, when the market had had its ninth consecutive down day, would you be willing to invest? Most people were saying, this is too close to the election. I can't take that risk. I'm not going to do that. Well, you know what? The people that make money are the people that are willing to take risks. The people that are willing to look at this thing rationally and they say, you know what? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I don't care what the market's done over the past 3 or 4 days. I know the market's going to be higher. So why not buy on dips? And the people that bought on Friday were well rewarded because the market went up almost 300 plus points on Monday. That's what happens. I want you, when you're thinking about investing, I don't want you to be buying on dips. I just want you to be invested because I don't want you to worry about the ups and downs of what's going on. But we got a problem out here in America right now. There's a lot of people. We see wages are up. People are making more money. People are saving more money. But they're saving it. Where are they putting it? Even the youngest people in America are 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds who are getting their jobs and they're putting money away. Do you know where they're putting most of their money? What's the best place to put their money right now, they think? Cash. The amount of money that is sitting in bank accounts and money market accounts is absurd. You're putting money in there and you're not making any money at all. So banks have all of this money in their coffers right now that they can lend out to other people. They can lend it out at 3-4%. You say, oh, this is great. I can get a mortgage for 3-4%. And the banks are making almost 100% profit on that spread between almost 0-4% because they don't have to pay out the people who are depositing money at the bank with interest. They're making a lot of money. You think the banks are complaining that interest rates are so low? No, because even if interest rates, if let's say interest rates were at 9%, if lending rates were at 9%, chances are your CDs would be paying 5-6%. Now that might be okay for you. You might be happy with that, but the banks aren't making any more or less money with the same spread. They're doing okay. And especially as long as people continue to pour money into the banks, they're doing okay. However, The minute you start to say, well, you know, we're going to start taking our money out of the banks and investing in the stock market, investing in the bond market, wherever it might be, all of a sudden the banks can't lend as easily as they can anymore. And that could be a reason as to why interest rates would have to go up, because the banks just couldn't survive. They need to start making more money somehow. They can't just do it on volume anymore. But what's interesting is a company called State Street Global Advisors came out with a report this past, they just got handed this earlier this week. It's what's called a forecasted return as of September 30th, 2016, so the end of third quarter. What State Street tries to do is, instead of looking at past performance, they try to say, where is the best place to invest on a one-year basis and on a 3 to 5 year basis? Now, without a doubt, the worst place to invest on a 1 year and 3 year basis is cash. But if you need the money out within a 1 year, if you, on a 1 year basis, you're saying, well, I just want to see how I would do, but I'm going to leave the money alone, I would say 1 year is bad for cash. But if you are putting the money into the bank and expect to touch the money within a year or 18 months, I don't care if you're in 0% interest, you keep it in the bank. That's what happens there. But let's say this is for long-term investors. On a one-year basis, the investment category that's expected to make the most amount in 1 year, projected by State Street Global Advisors on their report that they just put out, that's called State Street Global Asset Class Forecasts, they're forecasting that emerging markets will be up 6% 1 year following September 30th. 1 year, that's their projection. But that's the best return that you can get that they're expecting. The stock-based investments, the best return you should expect over the next 12 months. Now, what about stocks? What about just big company stocks? Some of the largest companies, the S&P 500, what should you expect over the next 1 year? They're expecting an average rate of return of 3. What are they expecting for bonds? An average rate of return of 1.4. So I want you to think about this. If you had a stock portfolio, I mean, just a S&P 500 type portfolio, biggest stocks in the world, and a government bond portfolio, 50-50, stocks to bonds, you're going to get 3% on 50% of it, 1.4% on the other 50%. What's the projected rate of return over the next 12 months for you? It's about 2.25. 2.25%. Now that is, folks, that's before fees. That's before fees. So now, as you can well see, fees that you pay to an investment company, to a financial advisor, become very important. The difference between 0.5% and 0.9% might not have been a big deal when the average rates of return were in the 6 to 9% range. But when you're expected to get somewhere around 2.5, if all you're doing is investing in large cap stocks and bonds, paying 1 or 2% is giving you basically a nothing return. You have to be careful. You got to ask yourself two things. Number one, you need to be fee disciplined. You need to understand what the costs are for various investments. Look, mutual funds are working really hard to try to reduce their internal costs. If you want to go really cheap to buy investments, you need to look at exchange traded funds. That's like buying an index. There's a variety of different indexes that are offered by many investment companies. The management costs are significantly less than mutual funds, but they're not going to be nimble. They're not going to go out and start trading. They're going to own an index, and that is all. It's generally computer managed. Now, there's all sorts of iterations of new types of products that are going to come out there. You're going to hear all different names to consider. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. I don't really think it matters whether you own ETFs or mutual funds. As long as they're held for the long term, I think they'll both do fine. What I think that matters are a few other things. Number one is, what are you willing to pay to keep yourself disciplined? There's a cost for discipline. And discipline is difficult to pay for when you're trying to discipline yourself. And so oftentimes people will pay a financial advisor for rational discipline. Not just on investing either, but for on other areas surrounding financial advice. You see, if all you do is you view your financial advisor as the guy that buys me investments, or the girl that buys me investments, and they keep me invested, that's worth something. But if they're not providing you advice on when to take your minimum distribution from your IRA, how to buy or sell a car or sell your home, how to help you make decisions about parents when they're in a nursing home, how to move to a retirement community. These major decisions, when should you take Social Security? Lots of questions to ask. Those are things that are, some would say, priceless, but they're certainly worth something. And that's why you begin to pay an extra fee for those services. Picking investments, folks, it's easy. Don't let anybody, don't let Cramer lead you to believe that it's difficult. Yeah, you want to try to pick winners of individual stocks? That is brutally difficult, and nobody does it successfully, not even Cramer. You know how Cramer makes his money? Cramer makes his money on subscriptions. He makes his money on subscriptions for you signing up to buy his newsletter. That's where people make money. That's the scalability of that business. That's where he's going to make his money. He's going to try to provide you with ideas, but they make their money on their subscriptions, from his speaking fees, from his presentation on television. It's not because of his stock prowess. He does know a lot about stocks, don't get me wrong, but he'll be the first one to tell you he doesn't know the direction of where these stocks are going. Don't buy individual stocks. That is my advice to every single listener that's here. Stay away from buying individual stocks. You have no business being involved in them. And the one thing that you got to be careful of, I see a lot of people that are involved with GE or with Procter & Gamble. Maybe it's Raytheon. Some of these big companies, GTE or Osram Sylvania. Actually, it's not Osram Sylvania. It's now GTE or Verizon now, I should say, that have large stock positions. Super large stock positions in that individual security. And they feel that they've got the inside scoop on what's going on. Folks, you don't. You have no idea. All the different layers that are at that company. If you want to hold a stock position in GE or wherever it might be because you work there, try to limit it to no more than 10% of your portfolio. I know that's a hard thing to do because you say, oh, but the dividend's so great. The dividend's going to be great, but the market value might not be so great. We've seen General Electric float up and down. You've seen that if you've been there before. Same thing happened with Gillette before it went to Procter & Gamble and all these others. You got to be careful, folks. Stick with money managers to run your mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. That's going to get you the biggest bang for your buck. When we get back, we got to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to talk to you a little further about what some of these future expected returns might be as suggested by State Street Global Advisors. They talk about their one-year projected returns and 3 to 5 year projected returns on various asset classes. We've got that and so much more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we continue to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. We're happy to meet with you as a free initial consultation. All you need to do is give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We've been talking about a bunch of different things today. One thing that we're not talking about today is the election, because I'll be very honest with you, I'm not in studio today. Today I had to tape the show. I taped it actually on Tuesday, on Election Day, so we can talk about that next week. But at any rate, we've been talking about a variety of different other types of items. One of them was talking about projection as to where investments were going to go next year. Wouldn't it be really cool if you had a crystal ball? If you knew that starting today, you could know how you would perform in various investments over a 12-month or 3 to 5 year period of time. That'd be pretty cool, huh? Now, granted, I don't have a crystal ball. I never profess to having one. Everyone can be a hero when they can take a look at the Morningstar reports or Google Finance and Yahoo Finance to take a look. How did an investment do over the past 1, 3, 5, 10 years? Folks, that means nothing. It really means nothing. You know why it means nothing? Because the average investor holds on to an investment for 2.7 years. So think about that. If you were using 5 years or 10 years as your benchmark to try to pick out where is the best investment to own, where's good quality long-term investment, most people are going to move their money out before they actually hit that 5, 10, and 15-year number. That doesn't make any sense. Why did you pick a long-term investment when you're going to sell it in 2.5, 2.7 years? Now, I will tell you this, something that's very interesting. People that invest with financial professionals generally hold their investments for 5 to 9 years. But those that hold it and buy it on their own, let's say you're a guy that walks directly up to Fidelity or calls Fidelity, the average investor holds it 2.7 years. It's something really interesting. And actually, the investor that holds things 2.7 years has amongst the worst investment performance of all of the asset classes because they're always trying to find something new. The secret to successful investing is buying quality and leaving it alone. I don't care what anybody else tells you. Buy quality, leave it alone. When you have to make moves, you have to make moves. When you have to make changes, you have to do that. But make it for rational decisions, not emotional decisions. Not things that are beyond your control. Not things that are beyond your control. All right, well, one of the things that is not beyond your control that you might want to consider is a story that came out from Alicia Monell. Alicia Monell is the director at, I think it's called the Retirement Institute, or the Retirement Resource Institute, that's at Boston University. And they focus on Social Security issues. They talk about Social Security policy issues. They try to understand where the trends are going and the way people think about Social Security. Now, I thought that was very interesting. There's many people that talk about waiting until full retirement age to take your Social Security benefit. You know, you can take Social Security at age 62, as early as age 62. You can take a reduced benefit from what's called your full retirement age. But you can wait until age 70 to collect it and actually get a benefit that's 32% greater than what you were supposed to get for your full retirement age. So for instance, if you were supposed to get $1,000 at your full retirement age of 66 years old, and you chose to take it at age 62 instead of getting the $1,000 you'd collect at 62, you're going to get, say, $700 at age 62. At 66, you'd get $1,000. 62, you'd get $700. But what if you waited until age 70? That $1,000 would now start to pay you $1,320 starting at age 70 and moving up. Well, not moving up very much, because as you recently heard, the Social Security Administration decided that everyone's getting a 4-cent increase. You're not going to get much. 40 cents, or it's 0.04 is what you're going to get, percent. It's nothing. It's basically a non-movement. But Alicia Monell posted this thing that says, well, what are investors taking? What is the typical retiree? When are they taking or starting to draw their Social Security benefit? And this is kind of interesting. Despite the fact that many people say, I want to wait until 66 or older, 45% of Americans who turn 62 actually start taking Social Security at age 62. Maybe that surprises you, maybe not, but I'm just telling you, 45% of people who take Social Security at age 60, 45% of all Americans who are eligible to take Social Security take it at age 62. Now, remember, if you take it at age 62 and you continue to work making more than, say, $15,000 a year, the money that you make over $15,000 a year impacts the Social Security check that you pay, and you're going to have to pay some of that Social Security check back. But still, 45% of Americans choose to take that check at 62. Some choose to take it at 63. 7% of Americans take it at 63. 8% take it at 64. At full retirement age, 31% of people take it at age 66. But how many people take it at age 70? How many people in America wait until age 70 to take it? 3% of retired seniors wait till age 70. I guess some of those numbers don't surprise me, but I thought the 62 number does kind of surprise me. People are desperately waiting for that 62 birthday of 62 years old to show up. They figure it's free money. I'm going to take it. But remember, not everybody is always healthy. Some people are single. Some people just need the money and they don't care. Some people don't pay taxes at all, and they still get the check. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons to take it. But I was really surprised that 45% of people turning age 62 decide to take Social Security right away. All right, one other thing that I wanted to tell you about is this asset class performance thing that we talked about that says, well, how have some of these other indexes performed? Or what are some of these other indexes expected to perform on a 12-month a 3 to 5 year basis. Now, I'm not saying I have a crystal ball, but I'm using this report that comes out of State Street Global Advisors. It talks about projected asset class performance. Now, I told you that the projected asset class performance for 1 year, the number one performer was supposed to be emerging markets, producing at 6.0%. That's what they're expecting. And they're expecting if you invest in emerging markets, that over a 3 to 5 year period of time, you should average 9.6%. But are you willing to invest in Russia, China, Vietnam? Are you willing to put your money there? Brazil? Now, you don't have to pick a country. You could buy an emerging markets fund. But everybody knows that the potential that exists there is huge. But the world rules are a little bit different, regulations different. But that's the best that you can expect of all of these asset classes, according to Straight Street Global Advisors. Another place to consider great performance on over the 3 to 5 year period of time is global developed countries, ex-United States. So what that means is those are international countries that are in international companies that are in countries outside of the United States that are considered developed. And they're some of the biggest companies. Think about Nestle's, British Airways, Mercedes-Benz, Sony, Samsung. Those companies are global international companies outside of the United States. But what's kind of interesting is I told you that on a one-year basis, the expected rate of return for U.S. small cap, U.S. large cap, and global developed ex-U.S. is all supposed to be around 3% next year. People are expecting the next 12 months you might get 3% on your money, on your stock-based investments in that those areas. However, if you hold on, if you hold on for 3 to 5 years, you could average somewhere in the 6 to 7% range. That's in small cap, large cap, and global developed ex-U.S. In fact, the worst performer of the three is expected to be the S&P 500, the biggest of these companies. Not by much, though. It looks like small cap and international should outperform U.S. global. But I would put money in all of them. I would put money in all of them. So I want you to think about it. Does it make more sense to put all of your money in large cap stock funds? Or should I put a little bit into small cap, a little bit into large cap, a little bit into international, maybe even some into emerging markets? What about buying some high yield funds? Should you be buying government bonds right now? Should that be the best place to invest? Well, look, the projection, get this, the projection on U.S. government bonds, considered the safest things to buy in America, the projection on U.S. government bonds on a one-year basis is 1.4%. That's what they figure you could make on a one-year U.S. government bond over the on a three-year basis. If you want to hold by a three-year bond, a 3 to 5 year government bond, you can expect an average rate of return of 0.9%. Now, that's logical. Think about that, because if interest rates go up, the value of your bonds are going to be going down. Folks, you need to get yourself out of cash. I don't care what happens with this election. I don't know what happened with the election because I'm not here on Sunday. I actually taped this show on Tuesday, on election day of this week. I don't care what the outcome was because the outcome doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to you. Your job is to control what you can control. Go to work. Work hard. Be diligent. Be resourceful. Be smart with the way you spend your money. Give your children sound, rational advice. Take your own advice that you give to them and apply it to yourself. Don't necessarily rush out to buy the most expensive item all the time. Buy quality. Don't buy quantity. These are things you can control. Eat out less. Eat in more. Hold your stuff a little bit longer than you should have, just because you want to be, you don't have to be the guy that everyone has to keep up with all the time. Be responsible, be and stay invested. Those are critical things that you need to do, but they're hard. I know it's tough. There's always something. There's always something that pops up. I love the person that comes to us and says, Mark, my plan is to spend about $8,000 to $10,000 a month in retirement. Okay. And they show me this budget that they've all worked out that they plan to spend $8,000 to $10,000 a month based upon how they've spent, And then they show me under each category and under each month that they do this thing. But this year, this month, I had to put in a new driveway. This month, I had to repair the boiler. This month, I had to do something on the roof. This month was a wedding. And so it's $8,000 to $10,000 a month that they want to spend, oh, plus another $4,000 or $5,000.
But they don't count those four or five because they figure, oh, those extra expenses, they won't show up anymore. Folks, we need to be rational. We need to be serious with the way we approach our retirement spending. I want to help you understand what that all looks like so that you can make smart decisions on how you spend your money and use the resources that you've worked so hard to accumulate. I hate seeing so many people that have so much money in bonds and cash because they're scared of what the next 2 to 5 to 10 years might look like. You're taking a greater risk by staying in cash and bonds. I'm telling you that. You're taking a greater risk by thinking that you need to lease a car rather than own a car for the long term. You're taking a greater risk when you choose not to leverage the value of the property that you have and use it to its fullest. I want you to minimize those risks. I want you to take money from the smartest places and pay the least amount of tax possible. Look, I don't know who won this election because I'm not here today. I did this on Tuesday. But one of the things that I know Donald Trump said that ticked off a lot of people was when someone caught him on the fact that he hadn't paid taxes in whatever the year it was. And he says, and I'm proud of it. And you know what? You'd be damn proud of it, too, if you didn't have to pay taxes, if you could figure out a way to avoid paying taxes on your income. It's not avoiding. It's using the law as it's written, taking advantage of every deduction that's available to you. We're oftentimes too lazy to do it. We're oftentimes too lazy to pay for the advice so that we know how to take advantage of that. That's not Donald's fault. That's our own fault for not following the rules that exist. Those rules are there. And you know what? They don't come for free. Donald didn't take those tax deductions and not pay someone for that advice. Your accountant that you'll work with as you approach the end of this year is going to be able to provide you with some smart advice on things that you should do. He might refer you to a financial advisor. He might tell you you should be doing things to save some money by putting money into an IRA or a SEP or a Roth or whatever it might be. That's worth advice. That's not free advice. You should get paid for that. And you should take him up on that advice. I've got to get out of here. I'll see you next week with a presidential update. We'll talk about what's going on in the world. Have a great weekend. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.